William, hopefully your favorite videographer from Two Hats Publishing. I welcome you to another Two Hats special of community events. Let's look in and see what's really happening.
And good afternoon, and welcome to the Lambda Weekly Show. I am Laurent Landis here with Patty Fink. I think we got to throw away the name, the late Patty Fink. Because, you know, this is like, I think, the fifth or sixth time she's shown up.
Yes.
And I mean, not just on time, but like really on time. I think she got here like 15 till today. So I was like, what? Like, so I can't call her the late Patty Fink today. And David is not here because David is on his staycation honeymoon.
Yes.
He went on honeymoon, but he's still here.
Yeah.
And he got married this past Thursday night, and we'll talk a little more about that, but that's why David isn't here. Our guest today, he is a writer, he's an actor, he's a married man, he's a father. I just found out he's a grandfather. And today, oh my God, and a great-grandfather. He's many things, and today he is our guest. He is Linus Spiller. Welcome, Linus. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been longer than a decade since I've been on this.
The last time Linus was on this show
was in a crack house.
It was at the crack house. It was.
But it was so small and intimate. It was wonderful. You all treated me well.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we brought Linus on to talk about what we're calling a series and a discussion about race. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to miss that today. If you haven't heard, partly, we might get to it, but definitely not the full hour like we wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, Linus, you got to come back on in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I will come back. Just let me know.
Okay.
We want to have that discussion.
We definitely still want to have that discussion, but we would be absolutely remiss if we didn't talk about the unfortunate news that we all woke up to this morning, the horrific.
And it's still unfolding.
It's still unfolding. If you haven't heard, there was a shooting in Orlando, Florida at a gay nightclub called Pulse. So far, 50 have been confirmed dead with 53 injured. They're already calling it the worst shooting in American history. So what do we know so far?
Well, there are some known facts, and there are many unknown facts.
There's a lot of unknown.
What we do know is that the shooter showed up about last call. Mm-hmm. About 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. And there were about 350 people in the club at the time and just started shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought that the gunfire, they mistook the gunfire for the beat of the music because for a while it was in spurts that seemed to.
They used actual new sound clips of gunfire four at a time as like transition points between songs.
Interesting.
So there was a young man on that spoke with George Stephanopoulos that said, hopefully this will be the trigger for DJs to stop using that because, you know, once those four ended and he realized that the gunfire continued was when he and his friends to hit the ground. So
interesting.
Because it could have saved lives if a lot of them had hit the ground, maybe, you know. And that there were so many, and there was a hostage taking in the process, too. There were wounded. There were dead. And for several hours, then the gunman held about 30 people hostage. And there was an exchange of gunfire with the police, and the shooter was killed in that exchange. Mm-hmm. And we're just now learning some information about him. But we do know that there were not enough ambulances to take all, even the wounded.
Oh, yeah.
To deal with the dead. And so We heard reports this morning that people who were shot at, like, in the leg or the arm, that they were loaded up by LGBT people in the community into the backs of pickup trucks.
There's footage of it. It's hard to watch footage, but there's already footage of it. Literally, three or four people holding bodies. No, well, I shouldn't say bodies because they weren't deceased, but they were wounded, like you said. But just literally running them down the street to get them in the back of a truck or get them away from the scene. It's really hard to watch. What has been confirmed is that initially they thought that this was part of ISIS, perhaps. But
it may still prove to be.
It could be, but so far they've already spoken to this person's ex-wife, and she has confirmed that he was very abusive to her, and he always had a deep disdain for gay people, and that while they were married, he was not religious at all. So that kind of takes out the theory that this was motivated by ISIS or someone or some religion. It waters it down a lot, absolutely. I know that's the first thing a lot of people want to run to, but we just don't know yet. But it sounds like this was just one individual who was deranged.
And I heard a report, too, that the father was saying that he had been with his son. And also said that he wasn't terribly religious, and had been with his son in Miami when they both observed two men kissing, and that his son was very upset. Yeah, flew off the handle about and was outraged by two men kissing in Miami. So that sort of indicates that there may be
a hate
crime,
indeed
would be the most horrific hate crime of just stepping out and killing 50 people in a club and wounding it was 103 people shot.
Yeah. Hate crime or internalized homophobia gone wrong, because, there's just something that's completely off with that. When you look at the fact that he was married to a female, there's a 2-year history of extreme physical abuse. And then all of a sudden you're not married. There's no reports of you being married again, entering with another female. There's just something. And then you see two men, kissing, you fly off the handle, you live an hour and a half away, and you're going to drive to this particular nightclub to do what you do. And if you were part of ISIS and wanted to make it a symbol, a national symbol, why not Disney World? You see what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly.
That just doesn't make sense.
Even the Fright Wingers don't like Disney right now because they're supporting us.
But that would have been a better... Absolutely. You don't want to say better. Sorry, United States government. But you don't want to say
No, we know what you're saying. There's more people there. There's more people.
And it has more, national significance. Disney World, Disneyland, all of that. It's part of Americana.
Exactly. But Patty has a press release. Did you want to read that?
Yeah, I want to quickly say, too, we're getting reports now, alerts that police have arrested a heavily armed man headed to L.A. Pride, Los Angeles Pride Festival, Saturday night, and is believed to be unrelated to the Orlando attack.
Wow.
So this is June Pride.
This is June Pride. We're still feeling backlash from our past year of success, and specifically with the marriage equality victory, and we're coming up on a 1-year anniversary of that. So we're still feeling the backlash of that. It's unfortunate.
Well, DJLA released a statement this morning, and I'll just read in part. I'll just read my statement from it, and then our cautions to the community. As LGBT Americans, we are horrified, angry, and heartbroken upon learning of the 50 people killed and 53 people wounded in the devastating mass shooting at LGBT nightclub Pulse in Orlando early today. Our prayers and hearts go out to the partners, spouses, families, friends, and loved ones of those killed and those wounded, and to those who survived this unfathomable horror. While our hearts overflow with sadness and grief, especially during June Pride, we remain clear-eyed in our resolve to advocate for all resources needed to relieve the suffering of the living and to mourn the dead, to condemn this barbaric violence against our LGBT brothers and sisters, and to stand together in solidarity with all Americans today. We are Pulse.
Oh, absolutely. We absolutely
are. Two points we wanted to add to our community at this moment in time. One is we do not yet know what motivated the killer. And two, our community has a long history of coalescing in challenging times, and this is one of those times. Mm-hmm. So we'll stand together. And tonight, the Dallas LGBT community will gather at 8 p.m. at the Resource Center, and that's the new Resource Center that's at on Cedar Springs off Inwood, very near the Cathedral of Hope, for a candlelight vigil. So it's 8 p.m. tonight. We'll repeat that again later.
Absolutely.
At the new Resource Center in Dallas.
You know, before the show, I was telling Patty was really scary about this. This could have been any one of us.
True.
Any one of us. We all, at some point in time, frequent gay clubs. You know, whether we go out as much as we did when we were in our 20s.
True.
You know, but it's still, you know, I don't go out near as much as I used to, but at least once or twice a year. It's usually for a celebration of some sort. Or, you know, when we're gathering together for a cause or politics or whatever, we still frequent there. So this could have been any one of us in any major city in the United States. So this is actually, this hits home. This is so close to home. Florida's not our next door neighbor, but they are still our brothers and sisters. This is hits so close to home.
It does.
Do you absolutely know what was so, just looking at the, news accounts on the various stations this morning, what really struck me was that we have a generation or two of young people who have never been exposed to anything like that, even remotely.
Right.
So when it happened, they didn't really know what to do. It really took them completely out of their element. There was one young man that he's from Detroit, so once he realized that, he had all of his friends to hit, and they're strategically figuring out how to get through the employee exit, go into an alley, prop up the door so that the guy can't get over, and there were like 20 of them in there, and they're going through a hole in the fence or climbing the fence. But they represent a minority of those that would actually know how to respond in a situation like that. And
absolutely,
it's like which is good that we live in a time where that isn't happening, you know, like a Stonewall or a civil rights movement or whatever, where things were popping off all the time. But the ones now, they don't have a clue. So to watch that, I teared up. I was like, those babies didn't know what to do, and they were caught completely off guard.
Off guard. And that's one other thing that we do know for sure, according to the Orlando police. This was a calculated, well thought out shooting. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like, crazy, pick up a gun and ran in there.
Yeah.
No, he was loaded. It planned this out thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. And he had an assault weapon.
AR-15. Mm-hmm.
With a lot of clips.
16 barrel, 30 round mag. What do we need with that type of firepower?
You need.
Exactly. Especially that type of mag. Because, I mean,
what you need
who
with
needs
it?
That many bullets?
No, the military needs that.
No,
we don't need it.
What you need with it is exactly what he did with it.
Yeah.
That's what you need
it
for.
It's a mass killing.
That's
exactly.
What it's for.
That's what it's designed for. That's what you need it for. Good question.
Yeah, because
that's what you need it for.
And I was like, you know, I'm I may be an anomaly, but, you know, I support the Second Amendment. I have a CHL, all of that. Good
I think
stuff,
most people
but
do.
But I think that I just need enough to prevent you from, if you're in my house, from hurting my family, hurting myself, and that's it. I don't need something with 30 rounds in a clip.
Right.
You know, I'm not shooting at a pack of deer or a flock of geese. What do you need that much firepower for? And that's something that, as a country, we're going to have to address. Right now, what's going to happen predictably is the NRA is going to make a statement. President Obama is going to make a statement. You're going to have some politicians that are going to use it as a platform. And then it's going to go away until the very next incident. We have got to seriously address how do we prevent the sale of this type of firepower to citizens. It is inconsistent with the Constitution.
And, in fact, you know, the shooting at Newtown was 27 dead. And if we didn't respond to it then, you know, what we'll hear from Congress, especially the Republican Party, I believe, is all they're going to offer are their thoughts and prayers. And that's going to be if they say anything.
I was going to say, you said the NRA. Do you think the NRA will actually make a statement
at all?
Of course
they're going to.
I'm curious to see what they're going to say.
Because you would to think that they would say, well, if, you know, as they did in South Carolina, well, if those poor gays in that club had been armed, then this wouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
I could hear something, because that's what they said about the individuals in the church.
That's what they said about the church.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there's some debate about what the meaning of this is, but somebody who did respond, so we think it was a response, is from our own Lieutenant Governor, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Shortly after the news broke, the following tweet went out from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, quote, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows."
Oh.
So that has sent a firestorm throughout social media. The last I heard is that I forgot the channel, so I don't want to name the channel and get it wrong. But supposedly they are saying that that was not a response to what happened in Florida.
They're saying though that it was programmed.
It was programmed before.
Uploaded,
right?
But it sat there for hours. It sat there on his Twitter account for hours. And you know what it takes to delete a tweet?
Yeah.
Click.
You know what it takes? You know, like. It's over.
It's over. It's gone.
And it sat there for hours and hours as people all over this country and all over this world reacted to this vile statement from our Lieutenant Governor. And they could have taken that down. So I think he was shooting for the best of both worlds. Let's leave it up and make this statement. And then, you know, then we'll just say our plausible deniability is that, oh, it was meant to go up. You know, yesterday or whatever.
Right, right, right.
I think that's just insane.
Yeah.
He didn't wait. I mean, he knew this was causing a firestorm before.
I agree. Okay, I guess I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If this was supposed to go out before, as soon as news broke, then you should have had sense enough to say, you know what? Pause. Let's not put it up. Because it was already scheduled to go up. Let's now put it up and wait a couple of days or something. But we'll talk more about this. We need to take a break. We'll be right back on Lambda Weekly.
I'm Michael Dominguez, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly, 89.3 KNON FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I am Laurent Lindis here with Patty Fink, and our guest today is Linus Spiller. So good to have you back, Linus, after so many years. Our David Taffy will be back next week. He is enjoying his honeymoon / staycation. I guess he and Brian are sitting up in the apartment. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
They have lots of family in.
That is true.
Both of them have enormous volumes
right,
of family
right.
in town. So, you know, they're probably out entertaining them. I know just from Facebook that David took his family to Fair Park yesterday.
Oh, good.
They explored there and stuff. But coming up in August when we do our next pledge drive, our pledge drive champion, Candy Markham, and her
partner
for almost 30 years, Carolyn, are getting married before they arrive here for the pledge drive in August. So in August, Lauren's going to host a round of the newlywed game with Aaron and me, Candy, Carolyn, and David and Brian.
Yes.
And we are just going to kick their butt.
I'm sure you will.
I
expect you to.
Aaron and Patty are so competitive.
I know. I'm sure they'll be practicing before they arrive.
David is no spring chicken, though. You have to watch that. Sorry, David. I love
you. He said it, not me.
I love David.
But you know what? His wedding was part of the Turtle Creek Corral show this past Thursday night. What a really, really good time we had. Just the show itself, and then I think David's wedding was all of maybe 5 minutes or so. And it was really nice. His aunt walked him, gave him away. And I met her backstage. Just really, really nice. They were very happy for him.
And Brian's mom.
Brian's mom. It was really nice.
Picture of them. They looked so, it was so pretty.
They did. And you know, and I don't think I've ever seen David look happier.
Yeah.
So.
He had pink tennis shoes.
He did. But you know what?
Really?
He did.
It
matched.
It matched. Like pink tennis.
Where did you get it? He was still David.
He was still David.
He had a tux on, but he was still
with
David.
With pink
tennis
shoes.
Pink tennis
shoes. Each marriage that we all do, they're always so different, and like what you all did at the roundup that was just, I had never seen anything like that. Who thought that political themes would be so, you know, marital?
You know, I just
thought that that was, I mean, I was just like really supercharged. I was more excited than you two were.
Well, I'll do credit to Honorable Glenn Maxey.
Glenn, yeah.
He really made that happen. And he made a statement afterwards when we were cleaning up. He goes, he said, No one's ever done that before, and no one's ever going to try to do that again.
No. Too funny. And he shouldn't let them. I mean, you all, that's it. It's done.
It's done.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of our weddings. Mm-hmm. We aren't following tradition, so we can do it the way we want to do it.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of it. So, but unfortunately, let's talk about, get back to what happened in Orlando. Again, if you're just joining us and you haven't heard already.
The president spoke.
There was a mass shooting in Orlando, Florida at a gay nightclub called Pulse. So far, it's been a total of 50 casualties with 53 other wounded. He said the president just spoke.
Right, just a quick quote from the president. He just spoke literally minutes ago. This was an act of terror and an act of hate. And I think Aaron's sending me something. In the face of hate and violence, we will love one another. We will not turn against each other. We will stand together as Americans. Absolutely. From the President Obama.
Absolutely. You know, before the show, Josh made a statement about the how the media introduces this. Why don't you repeat that? I like that what you said. About how, you know, they introduce
stories. When I heard it this morning, they introduced it as, you know, this was an Islamic terrorist, or may have been an Islamic terrorist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's just so sad that that's how they introduce it, with no facts whatsoever at to support all. That. And, you know, you don't hear, even when Timothy McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma, you know, building, mm-hmm. you never heard, oh, it's a Christian group, fundamentalist, mm-hmm. that, you know, they never say that. So that was my...
It's a very good point.
And I said, they don't know, and why are you, you know, introducing it like that? You're basically just kind of feeding this frenzy that's already out there.
Absolutely.
That Trump is stoking, you know, so why would you do that? And I think, and, you know, I'm trained in media also, went to college for this, but you just don't do that. And right now, I just hate this, for lack of a better term, activist media that we seem to have, that they're basically creating their own stories to win Peabody Awards or whatever else. I mean, yeah. I just don't like that.
Yeah, we just don't know. And you know what, quite frankly, in the end, does it matter? The fact is, these are 50 people,
are
still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if it was part of a religious cult or extremist group or not. Mm-hmm. 50 people are still dead. It's still an act of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
It still is, regardless.
You know, it reminds me when Aaron and I went to see the premiere of Robert Camina's film Inferno, mm-hmm. about the previous largest mass murder of LGBT Americans ever in the history of the United States until today. And that was when a club in New Orleans years ago, mm-hmm. the 70s, burned, mm-hmm. with people inside.
Mm-hmm.
And the horror and the grief, mm-hmm. It's just overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even imagine what our brothers and sisters in Orlando must be
process
feeling and trying to deal with today. And it's just amazing.
Yeah,
this is just shocking and horrific, and it angers me. But in the pit of my heart, I'm sad that we have leaders like Dan Patrick,
mm-hmm.
and others who vilify and dehumanize our community at the drop of a hat. And who knows what motivated this man to do this,
mm-hmm.
but could it be that leader saying these things, they say, I believe that too, and I'm taking action on those words, mm-hmm. you know, and those thoughts,
right.
and that kind of hate that we get from leadership, certainly in the state of Texas, mm-hmm. and we were just saying in the break, mm-hmm. People who are not from Texas maybe not don't understand, you know, how really bad it is here from our leaders that, mm-hmm. will say things. I mean, Louis Gohmert has said, He's a member of Congress from Texas, and he said vile things about transgender people, mm-hmm. about LGBT people, about women. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing levels of hate. And so if we're vigilant about anything, we need to be calling people out as they're saying these things, because I think mm-hmm. it does influence others, especially others who may be unhinged, maybe have a different a terrorist agenda, whoever it might be, but they're taking action on those vile words, and I think we need to call them out every time we hear them.
Mm-hmm. You know, again, today we were supposed to talk about race, particularly within the LGBT community, but I want to talk about now, I guess, how this has played out in the election and how that still relates to what happened today. Mm-hmm. And Trump has gotten a lot of heat, been called a racist for making, it seems like, endless racist comments. And yet we ask ourselves, who's supporting him? Where are these people? And then you see a tweet like we get today, and from other people like you just named, Patty, those are the people. Mm-hmm. Then when you really think about it, it shouldn't be so surprising that Trump has the following that he has.
The most populous state, I can't.
We're the second. The second. Behind California.
So, yeah, you're looking for them. So just imagine that it's multiplied in a state this size.
Exactly.
You know, not in our urban centers, because we're pretty progressive in those areas. Houston's a fine example of that. But outside of that, those are where people that hold those views reside. And
yeah.
Like in a state this size, how do you influence them and influence them to the point that when these people spout this type of rhetoric, that we do not support them at that level when they're running for elective office? I can't think of her name, the old woman that was running for the State Board of Education.
Oh, yes.
That was an example of everybody banding behind her candidate to make sure she did not get into that office. We've got to see
thank goodness she lost.
Activism more often.
Right, right.
We have to.
And, you know, when you see, you know, unfortunate tragedies that, like today, you would think people would get it. Everybody would get it. Like, mm-hmm. you know what? Look, we got to get along. We can't have this divisiveness. This is what happened. I may not agree with what you're doing, or, you know, I'm not going to use the word lifestyle, but you just may not agree with someone's religion or whatever, but you don't have to do that. And when you hear the rhetoric from Trump and Patrick and the many others, this is what happens. This is what happens, because we still have not made it. It's still okay to do it. It's still okay to do it, to certain groups anyway, and definitely LGBT groups. It is still okay to vilify us, say nasty thing about us with no repercussions. It's still okay. You couldn't say stuff and do
the First Amendment.
In the name of the First Amendment, yeah.
And because words do lead to actions.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do. I mean, it's been proven over and over again, just not scientifically and sociologically, but every person knows that that's what happens. And so when we hear this stuff, I do believe we need to call it out. And what's really poignant to me today is that tonight we're going to meet an SOS, the Survivors Group from Hate Crimes, mm-hmm. Is one of the sponsors of this vigil tonight. And we still have 18 unsolved crimes in the Oak Lawn Entertainment area. Mm-hmm. That we don't know who the perpetrators were. We don't know what their motivations were. But we do know that there's an awful lot of hateful rhetoric in our state, not necessarily our city, but we do have Reverend Jeffress here, and we've talked about him at length on the last show, last mm-hmm. Sunday. We have that kind of hate spewing forth. We have, you know, across this state, and now, you know, with Trump elsewhere, I'm going to take a quote from House of Cards, where, you know, when bigotry becomes patriotism, we're doomed.
Yeah.
We're doomed. And that's what it seems to be. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, Dan Patrick put this tweet up today that was just vile, just absolutely vile, and then claims afterwards that, oh, we didn't mean it. It's been out there. And if you look at the responses of, well, I guess you can't now because he's deleted it. But the responses of some of the people were just flabbergasting. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Where they were agreeing with him and calling us sodomites.
Right.
We deserved what we got.
Yeah, we deserved it.
Well, see, that's a leader. That's a leader
right.
saying some crap.
Right.
You know, that's hate speech. And I was really, in, you know, just excited to see so many people supporting us. And I'm not gay, but this is a horrific deaths of so many people, and this is a horrific thing for you to post.
Here's an let me add to that. For him to direct this, or he and others to direct this type of language and speech toward who they assumed were in this establishment, you can look at our area. Oaklawn is very popular. It is frequented not just by gay people, but a lot of straight people. And entertainers, professional athletes, everyone loves Oaklawn because it is fun. So for you to throw those words of judgment out there, you're basically throwing it out on everyone, not just people that are part of the LGBTQ community. So you have to kind of be careful about what you're saying if you're intending to, you know, kind of create a distinction, because in that type of environment, there really isn't. It's just people letting their hair down after a long week at work, and they're trying to have fun and relax before they go and hit repeat on Monday.
Right. And who's to say that some of the, we don't know all the sexual orientation of all the victims. Yeah. I'm sure some of them were straight.
Mm-hmm, probably.
Yeah, you know, so... yeah, you're talking about everybody when you make statements like that. Mm-hmm. That's everybody.
Yep. And you know, there was a woman, a member of the LGBT community in Orlando on TV this morning who said, you know, there but by the grace of God go I. We could have easily been in there. Mm-hmm. It could have been any one of us. You know, somebody could have, you know, shown up at one of the clubs in Dallas and done exactly the same thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. This is, you know, we are Pulse. All of us are.
Mm-hmm. We are.
This is an attack on our community, and not just the LGBT community, but on Americans mm-hmm. and people who believe in American values of freedom.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
That's an attack on all of us. You're absolutely right. It's not just us. It's all of us.
And as Laurent said, we're not supposed to do that here. Not in this country.
We're not supposed to do
not
that.
Not supposed to happen. So why is it happening? What are the catalysts for it continuing to happen? That's what we need to examine.
You know, last night, I told them before the show, last night, or yesterday, was Danny, you know, his 19th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Anniversary. And we went to go see Jane Lynch, and it was a really good show. And afterwards, we still had a little time before we had to get back and get the kid from the babysitter, which is Grandma. And, you know, Danny was like, you know, you want to go? Because I can't remember the last time Danny and I have been out on Oaklawn together. That's how long it's been. I literally have to sit there and brainstorm.
Because that happens to me, too.
Oh, no. It's just all married couples. Yeah. And so we're like, you know, you want to go get a drink or whatever? And like, and it was around 10:30. And, you know, which is late for us, you know. And I'm like, no, let's just go and go home. And I was in bed by 11:15. So, but that could have been us. Yeah. That could have been us.
Yep.
Very easily. You know, to the one time we go out to have a drink, and let's just say let our hair down, that could have been us with ease. One of the things I did see on the news this morning before I left the house, which was inspiring, some type of encouragement, was there was a line wrapped around the building for people donating blood. That is encouraging.
That's very encouraging. And that was one of the things that the mayor and the governor pointed out, was a huge need that people who had suffered these wounds need blood.
They need blood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all know there's no such thing as black, white blood, gay, straight blood. It's blood.
Yep.
And people have come out in droves to help. That was really touching to see. That was really nice. So
I'm concerned that there was another potential attack in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
At the Pride Parade there. Enormous city, for one.
Oh, yeah. Second largest city in the United States.
And, you know, an enormous LGBT community mm-hmm. in Los Angeles.
But what it does, it allows the LGBT communities across the country, now that this, you know, unfortunate incident has occurred, this tragedy, to address your city leaders so that we know that our community is safe for the remainder of the month. You know, because it can happen. Like, what are the staffing plans in terms of, you know, if you can't be at each club, will there be patrols in the communities where all of these activities are occurring? And, you know, that's something that we're able to do so that we're proactive and not reactive and it doesn't happen again.
Because there's still a lot of cities that have not held their Pride celebrations yet.
We got a full calendar.
Yeah, we got a full calendar. The largest in the South, I think, is Houston's Pride. Mm-hmm. They still haven't had theirs yet.
Not yet. So,
there's a lot of, I guess, restructuring that needs to happen to make sure that nothing else happens.
Yeah, but we have to be proactive.
We really do.
Can't wait. We've got to approach them, the police departments. We have this going on this day. What can you offer us?
Yeah.
We have this. We can do this, but what can you do? We pay taxes here. What can you do?
Right.
And I believe that Dallas Mayor Mike Rawlings and Police Chief David Brown mm-hmm. will be at the vigil tonight.
Awesome.
Which will be an opportunity for them to do that. My wife, Erin, has just texted me a great point, and we were just talking about giving blood. She says, except gay men who acknowledge that they're gay and have had sex in the past year, that they cannot donate blood.
Is that still the case? Because I thought that was dry.
It's still the case for within the last year.
Within the last year, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the irony is full.
Yeah, it really is.
Definitely full.
We need to take a break. We'll be right back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
I'm Patty Fink, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly again. I'm Laurent Landis here with Patty Fink, and we have, as our guest today, is a blast from the past, Linus Spiller. David will be back next week. He is on his honeymoon, got married this past Thursday. So, again, a big congratulations to he and Brian. This past Tuesday, history was made.
Big history.
For the first time, we have a woman who is officially the head of a major political party. Hillary Rodham Clinton got the nomination for the Democratic
She's
Party.
She's the presumptive nominee.
Presumptive nominee. It'll be official at the convention, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So
she does have a majority now, and the reason it was such a big deal was with California, with that Super Tuesday, she hit the mark of 2026, which is 2026 pledged delegates, which is the mm-hmm. majority of pledged mm-hmm. delegates.
Right.
Which means on the first ballot at the convention in Philadelphia, those pledged delegates are committed. They must vote mm-hmm. for Hillary Clinton. And so it'll put her over the top to 2383. And by design, the party makes it a very high mark mm-hmm. so that you do need superdelegates to win. So this whole idea that, she should be able to get it on her own. Nope, it's by design very high. But she'll go over that mark without question on the first ballot and be our nominee.
And it's been in place since 1984. So, I mean, we've had no issues with it before. So
now, you know, we really don't have any issues with it now. We just have some people who are upset about that their candidate did not prevail. And, I'm not going to call them whiners or whatever, but eventually, because frankly, the same thing went on when Hillary was going against Barack the first time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's time to get over it. It is what it is. The rules are what they are. And let's move on.
And there's a graciousness that she handled that situation in 2008 because it was divisive, but not like we're seeing right now. But she was so gracious even up to the convention when she knew that her supporters wanted to push the issue. And she's like, no, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And she started campaigning vigorously for him, she and Bill, and, you know, then became Secretary of State, which really, you know, she was already qualified for everything, but then that just kind of tipped it that if she ever decided she was going to run again, and I knew she would, thank you, Hillary, that, you know, there was nothing that you could say about her. So, yeah, on Tuesday, well, actually on Monday when the, was it New Jersey, when those came through, I cried then. And I mean, I was just nervous, could not sleep. And then the next day when we had a celebration over on Greenville, I mean, I just could not believe it because I was happy for her. It reminded me of my mother who was an elected official in Michigan and how hard it has been for female public servants to hit that level. Women are so terribly underrepresented in
that in everything.
In everything.
Well, basically in everything, but and yet really we're that we're policy
especially
matters,
elected so offices. Especially.
And we're 53% of the United States population.
Right.
But you're only a minuscule amount of the senators, the House representatives, right. The mayors. You know, and I can go on, and that has to change.
Absolutely.
And I love that tweet that said something. That the only thing that's rigged about our 240-year-old system is that in 240 years, this is the first time
a woman
has been nominated. That's what's rigged about it.
And you know, to me, this is again. Who cares at this moment if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're independent? You cannot ignore or, you know, turn your head to this significant moment. It's the same thing with Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of what you think, this is an amazing moment, and this is finally, we're seeing a little progress in our country.
It's historic.
This is historic.
It's huge.
You know, I put on Patty's page that, you know, we were literally sitting on a couch with our daughter, making her watch this.
Wow.
And she wanted to watch it too, but you know, I don't know much. She actually gets as a 7-year old. But you know, she totally gets because she has asked before, why has there never been any lady presidents, as she puts it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question to answer to a 7-year old. Well, at the time, I think she was 6. So I hope she will remember this moment.
Oh, she will. She will. When she's older, she may not take it in right now.
Right.
But when she's older and really comprehends the historic nature of that moment sitting on the couch with you and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be very proud.
Yeah.
She's going to be very proud that you were both with her and insisted that you watch, that she watch, and she's going to cherish that moment.
Yeah.
I assure you.
As a
woman, it will be
that she has that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like my two granddaughters, the youngest ones, they're babies. So, of course, they're not going to have any recollection of this.
Right.
And the great grandchild, well, he's a boy, so that's different, but the two girls, they're not going to, but then they will have grown up in a time period where a woman was president, so that kind of changes that, because they'll be able to look at a little emoji or a map of all of the presidents, and they'll see the black guy, they'll see the female, and they'll go, wait a minute, why is she the very first one, and there were 44 before her?
Right.
Right.
And they'll go, well, that's stupid. You know how kids talk, and
right.
You'll see that, but then they'll realize that it's possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is so amazing about this moment, too, with Hillary as this historic nominee, is for kids who were born, say, 2000 and later, what they're experiencing, they come to their awareness of the world around them, where they're remembering things like at 7 years old, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
For them, their memories are 8 years of a black man in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have, when Hillary wins, a woman for 4 years or 8 years, a woman in the White House.
Right.
And that's just transformative.
Very.
That's what I've called it. It's not a revolution, it's a renaissance. You know, it's
it is.
A rebirth of our, it's a whole generation that will never think it has to be an old white guy.
Right.
And not that there was anything wrong with an old white guy, because some of them were good.
Some of them were great.
But, I mean, you know.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with that. But in a country this diverse, and that's what we're based on, you know, we're a country of immigrants, people from different races, creeds, everything, we're all one. Just to see one image of the highest office in your country, you know, there's something, I'm not going to say wrong with that, but it's just kind of regressive. But it's starting to change.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be. It might be an old white guy again. Probably will be.
I'm sure it will be at some point.
At some point.
But it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
You know,
and that's the point.
You look at it, does it have to be?
And that sends the message to all of the other little non-white guys who are coming up. Hey, I actually have a shot. I can actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, too. Gabrielle knows, hey, I can actually do this if I want to one day.
I'd vote for Gabrielle.
No, thank you.
She would be the consummate first, second female president. But we'll have some more in there.
We'll have some more. Oh, God, hope so.
Yeah,
before
she'll
then.
She'll do the best. She'll go down in history.
You know what? She was born the year that Barack Obama was elected.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yep.
See,
a month later, she's in that generation. You know, we shouldn't put all people into one box.
Mm-hmm.
But when Barack Obama ran, he overwhelmingly got the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the same thing will happen with females when Hillary goes in the general election?
I just want to answer this question.
That's why I wanted to throw it to you.
Because there have been people out there, Democrats and Republicans, saying that I'm voting with my vagina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Unless all these years men have been voting with their penis, because they haven't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of other things with it, but they're not. I don't know if they're voting with it. But I think maybe they have been in a lot of ways. But let's remember that when we say that Barack Obama won 95% of the black vote, mm-hmm. so did LBJ. So did JFK. Black people have been voting overwhelmingly for a Democrat for all these years.
That's true. You know? Very good point.
And yes, I'm going to be supporting Hillary, and I do, and I acknowledge that as a disclaimer on the show. But I think a lot of women will. It's been mm-hmm. a very long time that we haven't had an opportunity to vote for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never been in that role.
Right. That's right.
And so we're not voting specifically for a woman, many of us. We're voting for the best candidate out there who happens to be a woman. Because
mm-hmm.
we have that choice now. We have that choice as a country. And we've never had that choice before.
Right.
So who's to say we would have voted for a woman if we'd had a woman every single election mm-hmm. for president? Maybe not. It's just like in our community, let's say city council. Racist. We don't always vote for the gay candidate,
sure.
you know. But we're blessed and fortunate to have had many, many elections where we have LGBT candidates, openly LGBT, out there running,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes two or three in the same race.
That's true.
You know?
True.
And we don't always vote for the
open one,
right? But this is an opportunity for women to vote with Hillary and vote for Hillary. That's never been even offered before. We've never had that option on the ballot.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, because when Obama ran, there were some people, and you had Samuel L. Jackson, very high profile, that stated he was voting for Barack Obama because he was black. And that was his choice. So if a woman states, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because she's a female and I'm a female, I don't have a problem with that. That's your choice.
Sure. I was just about to say the same thing. I think a lot of people did vote people of color voted for Barack Obama because he was black. I didn't find anything wrong with that. And if a woman is voting for Hillary Clinton because she has a vagina, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't, because it's never happened before. Take advantage, seize the moment. It may never happen again.
It may never, and just do that. And she's just, I mean, so, with her evolution as a public servant, because I hate when people use the word politician, but just her evolution as a public servant has been so phenomenal to watch, that you've always wondered, why isn't she leading all of this? So when she ran in 2008, it was like, wow, we have it. But then you had this other one that came, and it's like, oh God, we have two really, really good choices. And actually, it was better than the two choices, you know, not to knock Senator Sanders, but in terms of ideology, it was just a little difference between them. So you were either voting for the black man or voting for the female.
Mm-hmm.
But you still had two excellent choices, and we wouldn't have gone wrong with either one of them in 2008.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I agree.
Yep. And there was a little Puma.
That's
you know.
A little.
Oh, there was. It's not a lot.
Party unity in my ass.
Yeah, a little.
You know, a little bit. But it turned around really quickly, and I have to reiterate what you said about her being gracious and such class.
That's when she gave that 18 million cracks in the ceiling speech.
That was one of the best.
That was a great speech.
But on the floor of the convention, then the next month,
that's it.
She suspended. She asked the body to suspend the mm-hmm. rules and nominate Barack Obama by acclamation. And they did. All those in favor say aye. And it was a booming, unanimous room.
Which I don't think we're going to get this time.
Oh,
which
no.
Is
I don't
not,
think we're going to get this
time. Which is not.
Well.
I'm just sucking my teeth, Lamont. But that's okay.
I'll be
in Philadelphia to maintain order.
So have we heard anything from Senator Sanders' camp? Is he going to take this all the way to the convention?
But he stated, and he will support her, but it's for platform issues. Now, I understand his need for that. I get it. I really do get it. But everything that he stands for will not ultimately land up in that platform. It never does for any candidate. So to go to the convention with supporters that are supercharged with that set of expectations, that's kind of counterproductive. So you take what you can get, and then as a senator, you work the rest of it in for your next term, and you know, get allies, because he doesn't really have a lot of allies and has a history of that. You kind of make it work for you in that manner, but it's not like an all or nothing me. You've got to be together. This has to be a united front, because again, we have the media mogul that we've got to defeat in November. That is the primary objective.
And that brings me to my next point. We're running out of time, but I wish we had a Senator Sanders supporter on that I could ask this. and here's my question. There's some of them who have said that, you know, if Hillary gets the nomination, which she has, they're just not going to vote. And I just don't understand that. And again, we're not endorsing anybody on this show. Fine if you want to vote for Hillary. Fine if you want to vote for Trump. But I'm just curious, if you're not voting for Hillary, that's your prerogative. But if you intended to vote for Sanders, but then you're not, in, because he didn't get it, you're not going to vote for Hillary. You're just not going to vote at all. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, voting is the same as voting for Trump.
Exactly, because their ideas were so closely aligned. There were some differences, but for the most part, they are on the same team.
On the same page. They're
on the same page.
In the Senate, they were voted exactly the same way 93% of the time.
You know,
I think the hype about where they're calling Hillary evil and corrupt and all of this is just hype. If you look at her record, she's not anything like that. It's just they've heard it so long and they've heard it from each other. It's just become this thing. It's a thing of its own creation.
Because you don't hear many, I think I've heard like one or two, but you don't hear like not Trump supporters, but you don't hear any Republicans saying, I'm not going to vote for Trump because, you know, I don't like Trump. I'm still a Republican, but I don't like Trump. But I'm not going to vote for... They're not saying they're going to go run and vote for Hillary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
I've heard a few.
Oh, they are. No, yeah, they are.
Really?
And Lindsey Graham, Miss Lindsey, yesterday said, you have to decide, Republicans, you have to decide whether your hate, your love for your country outweighs your hate for Hillary, because you need to vote for her. Mm-hmm. That's what
he said. There are a lot of them that are going to, in particular, Republican women.
Now, I know Laura Bush says she would vote for Hillary.
Yeah, one thing, and I've been having this discussion with people online, particularly young blacks, and given the history of our country, for you to state that you are not voting because your candidate didn't get in makes absolutely no sense to me, but then I have to reconcile that. They didn't come through that period where those things were happening. When King was assassinated, I was 4. I still remember looking at the little floor TV with the news feed. I remember that was part of my time, but they don't have any connection to it. So for them, it's just a choice between what they like, what they don't like. Do they want peaches or apples on their food tray? And it's that type of decision.
Right.
But for us, we have so much more at stake. So I don't get it. It makes me livid when I hear it, and I just try to work through it.
I've never not voted, and I always will vote. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't like either of the candidates, but I might pick a third candidate, but I will always vote. That is my duty. I feel that's my duty.
That's right.
As a citizen, I feel that's my duty, as what you said, what my people have gone through, just so I could vote. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand when people say, I'm just not going to vote. No, that doesn't make any sense. You need to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you vote for, but you need to vote.
And vote tonight by attending this vigil.
Yes.
Tonight, this candlelight vigil that's going to be at 8 p.m. tonight in Dallas, at the Resource Center, which is at 5750 Cedar Springs. It's Cedar Springs and Inwood. We're about to run out of time, but be there tonight. We need to stand together, because we are Pulse.
We are.
We need to express our solidarity and our grief upon this attack on our community. This is really important, people.
It is. Again, we want to send out our condolences and prayers to all of the Orlando families in this massacre. I'm Lioness. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so, so much. It's good to see you again. And you're going to be back in about 2 or 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. Just let me, and I'll put it on the calendar, and I know where you are this time.
Okay.
But I was on time, though.
You were. Technically, you were.
Absolutely, you were.
All right. Enjoy your Sunday, everyone.
This is William, hopefully your favorite videographer from Two Hats Publishing. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you like it, please leave comments below or like, follow, or subscribe to us and get notices of all our videos. We love it, even when you call.